the work of your church around the world. We pray for Jim and Jenny Knox in Uganda and the blessing there, although currently they're in the U.S. Pray for Christ the King OPC in Longview and Pastor Phil Hodson and his family and the church there, that you would richly bless them. Bless us, O Lord, as we come into your presence, to your word. May you guide us into your truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107, verses 10 to 22. Psalm 107, verses 10 to 22. So we look, have a read a little bit more of this psalm this morning. And following the reading of the scriptures, we'll sing the Glory Patri. If you would, please stand for the reading of the scriptures. Some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all the food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I know that some of you know that we're very late in the hour. And I know who they are. I know who you are out there that know that. So I won't be keeping you long, but I do want to give you three thoughts about thankfulness. Obviously, it should be a part of our life all the year. But as a way to get into that, I want to, for some of you, it's introducing you. For others, it's reminding you of one of a wonderful document that came out of the Reformation, the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, I love our shorter catechism, but I have to say, by and far, my favorite catechism is the Heidelberg Catechism, because it's written in such a warm, second-person way. And almost as well known as the first question and answer of the shorter catechism is the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, and although it's question two that I'm going to have you think about. But I do want to read question and answer number one. And I wish you could see it, because it's just amazingly wonderful. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. And he so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Now, I could quit right there. That's enough glory right there for you to go home with. But I do want to take you to number two. And it's how many things are necessary for you to know that you are enjoying this comfort and may live and die happy? And the answer is three. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. And the third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. And so it tells us there's three steps to true and full and rich thankfulness. The first is you have to know your misery. You can't ever come to the point of true thankfulness if you don't understand your true misery before the Lord. It's understanding our misery that prompts us for deliverance. You don't go to the doctor, typically, unless you're sick. Or you don't see an attorney unless you need an attorney. You don't go to the Lord. People don't go to the Lord unless they know they need the Lord. So for you to ever have to come to the point where your heart is overflowing with true and genuine thankfulness, you first of all need to know your misery. How wretched you are apart from the Lord. And even this passage we read today, there were men who were fools and they were in their rebellious ways, and they suffered affliction because of all their iniquities. And they came near the gates of death. And what did they do? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. They didn't cry out until they knew their misery. And misery is necessary for us both to be drawn to cry out for it, but also to have the true note of what our deliverance brings to us. Because once you are delivered, you know the joy that's unspeakable. And you cry out with Paul, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. If you never saw your misery, it wouldn't be an indescribable gift. But once you know your misery, and you've been delivered from it, then you are overflowing with thankfulness. The second thing they tell us is that we need to know how we may be delivered. Now, it's important for you to know that there is such a thing as deliverance available. Otherwise, you might despair. If all that was made known to you, that you were in misery and you were in a miserable state, but there was no resolution, no solution, no help to be found, all you would do is leave with your heads hung and say, woe is me, woe is me. And there would be no thankfulness for sure. Who's thankful for that? Once you know there's deliverance, then you're thankful that you've known your misery, because now you know the way to go. And God, in the very simplest statement, we know it is, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There's the statement of deliverance. We need to know how we can be delivered, and it's through Jesus Christ and through his work. It's not ours. And knowing how we may be delivered both prompts our desire for deliverance, but it also is the source of our comfort, which also fuels our thankfulness. When we learn the tenderness of the compassion of our Lord, then we are brought to great thankfulness. Paul writes about it, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and we do, if you have any comfort from his love, and we do, if we have any fellowship with the Spirit, if there's any tenderness and compassion. You see, that's what deliverance brings to us. Those things, those characteristics. And out of a knowledge of how we may deliver it, it brings us to true thankfulness before the Lord. As Paul writes in Colossians 1, being strengthened with all power and according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. See, the knowledge of our deliverance, knowledge of our misery leads us to cry out for deliverance. The knowledge of our deliverance leads us to thankfulness. And the third thing that it says that we need in terms of true thankfulness is knowing then how we may express that gratitude unto the Lord. It's by living for Him. It's by following His word, even as Paul said there in that Colossians passage, another Colossians passage, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord and continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So it's God's word and its guidelines for us in our living that is the answer to how may I express my true thankfulness to the Lord for His deliverance. It's by keeping what He's given to us in His word. It's His truth that guides us. That tells us how we may be thankful and be encouraged. And living out a thankful life is so very, very important. It not only is an absolutely necessary and natural consequence of knowing your deliverance, knowing your misery, being delivered, but it's also part of God's comfort and encouragement and assurance for you. As you live a thankful life, you are encouraged in His love for you, because you're constantly remembering His mercies and not forgetting them. And later on in the Heidelberg Catechism, question 86, it says, in connection with good works and expressing thankfulness, it asks the question, since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ without any merit of our own, why must we still do good works? And the answer is because that Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image, so that we testify by our whole conduct our gratitude to God for His blessings. And so that we may be praised, so that He may be praised by us, and also that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. And that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. So it gives us, there are several things. It's so that our whole conduct would express our gratitude to the Lord, that He might be praised, that we may be assured ourselves of our faith in the Lord, and that others might be gained for Christ. There's nothing as unflattering as a grumpy Christian. And there's nothing more attractive than a grateful Christian. And that's what stands out, even in trouble. Thank God for what He has given to us. And so my encouragement to you is to find in the Lord and in this solid comfort. To have known your misery and all that it means. And have known the method and the way of deliverance. And out of that deliverance, to give unto the Lord the abundant thankfulness that He so richly deserves and that you would so wonderfully want to give to Him. May you and I know the sure consolation and be filled with gratitude to the very end. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are very grateful to you for the encouragements we have in our life, and Lord, there are times when our lives are full of struggle and difficulties and trial, and these will get to the point of being overwhelming, illnesses and difficulties that we face, and yet we thank you, O Lord, that you have delivered us from our greatest misery of not knowing you, and have given us the hope of everlasting life, and the hope that no matter what occurs in this life, you will triumph, your grace will triumph through us to the very end and lead us into our home everlasting. May you, O Lord, give us encouragement, and out of this encouragement, may we abound in thanksgiving unto you. And we pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn to hymn number 125 and we'll sing together, Let All Things Now Living, hymn number 125. And please stand together as we sing.